voice of Liverpool.
City Talk 105.9.
Hey, welcome back to Drive Time. It's Paul Jacobs driving you home till 7 o'clock on the very serious subject. And you should all be aware of it, because if you don't, you don't know what's going on in your backyard, your own backyard. We're posing the question, what's the true cost of immigration? Recent report from Lord Richard Layard said this. Listen to this conclusion. We will have permanent pressure of people to move in our direction. Britain has an extra resource, which is the English language, for attracting people here. There's no doubt whatever that the pressure will remain for half a century. How scary is that? As a result, the Peers ministers should impose an explicit target range for immigration and set the rules to keep within that area. That's scary, isn't it? That's very, very scary. But should we have seen it coming? Well, I'd like to welcome to the show from Migration Watch UK, Sir Andrew Green. Andrew, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you.
You're very vociferous on this, aren't you, when you say, and I quote you, that the immigration, the massive case for immigration, has been torn to shreds by the report.
That's right. Well, I think the first thing to say is that this is the first time there has ever been a full-scale inquiry into the economic aspects of immigration to Britain. I say economic because they focused entirely on the economics, and they were right to do so.
Yes.
Secondly, this was a very high-profile and heavyweight group. I mean, we're talking here about two former Chancellors of the Exchequer, a former Governor of the Bank of England, captains of industry and commerce, and internationally known economists like Professor Layard, whom you mentioned. So this is as heavyweight a group as could possibly look at it. They spent 9 months looking at it. They took 100 pieces of evidence. And at the end of it, they concluded that in economic terms, I stress that, in economic terms, the economic benefit to the resident population was very small indeed. Indeed, they said it was insignificant. So that changes the whole terms of the debate. I mean, the government are in a state of shock, I think, but you can't go on with a policy once its rationale has been destroyed.
So, Andrew, I'm not surprised, but I'm very happy this has come out into the open, because for so long this country we have been very oversensitive to talking about such subject matters, and in a way it was politically incorrect, or it was put in our domain that the perception was it was politically incorrect to even debate anything like this before.
Well, I've been beating this drum for 5 years now, with a great deal of success, if I dare say so, in more recent years. But in the early years, it was very difficult to get a sensible discussion, put it like that.
2004, a landmark year, Sir Andrew.
2004?
Yeah, when eight nations, including Poland and Lithuania, joined the EU. And we're in a difficult situation because a lot of people are saying, OK, close the borders, full stop. We can't do that now.
We can't do that, nor do we need to. There are two separate problems here. One is the European problem, if you like, the EU problem, and the other is the rest of the world. As far as the EU is concerned, yes, there have been a huge number, maybe a million in the last 3 years or so. But and we don't have any control over those, certainly the first eight. They can come and go as they please, and they're doing that. But the history of this is that when we've expanded the European Union, there have been movements of people for the first few years, and then as the economic level of the candidate country moves towards ours, then those movements drop off. And with Spain, Portugal, Italy, when they got to within 30%, they thought, well, the sunshine's a lot better than this.
Yes.
You know, stay at home, and who can blame them?
But what is worrying to me is that England, Scotland, Ireland and Wales seems to attract more people than our continental friends. Now, is that going to sort of level itself out in the next few years, or are we going to see the same sort of pattern emerging?
I think Lord Layard was right. I think in terms of the third world, there will be special pressure on England. Scotland, Ireland and Wales don't take any significant numbers of immigrants. England take between 95 and 99% of foreign immigration. So we're talking England. And that pressure will continue because this is an amazingly free country. I've lived in 10 countries in my lifetime, and this is by far the freest, by far the easiest place to live.
Does that mean we have to batten down the hatches if we want to look after our own economy and our own people?
It means we have to have an immigration system that works if we are to avoid being frankly overwhelmed by numbers. And at the moment, we're not very far from that, because the forecast is that it'll be 190,000 a year.
But there's a huge amount of people.
That's a huge amount. Yeah. I mean, if that turns out to be right, that will add... well, our population will go up by 10 million. I'm talking about England here. Mm. 10 million in the next 25 years, of which 7 million will be a result of immigration. That is seven times the entire population of Birmingham.
Wow.
And probably about 15 or 20 times the population of Liverpool. So, you know, you're talking a massive numbers on a very crowded island. So the House of Lords are right. They're saying, look, if there isn't any significant economic benefit, and they haven't found any, is it really wise to go on like this? And we think there's only one answer.
So, Andrew, finally, one final question. I'm caught in two minds here. I want us to remain this ultra-democratic country that welcomes people here, and quite rightly so. But British people... And English people in particular, and we know in certain parts of the country, Northwest is an area in particular, are beginning to feel isolated. Mm. There's a fine dividing line here. And what it, in my perspective, just a, you know, average man on the street as I am, it's giving ammunition to people like the BNP to feed on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very dangerous. I'm not an expert on that kind of thing, but
me
I
neither.
Do listen to people like Trevor Phillips, whose job it is to be concerned about relationships between our different communities. Mm. And it's his organisation who have talked about a growing divide, about parallel lives, about sleepwalking into segregation. And in their final report last autumn, they talk about our society fracturing. Now, these are very serious matters, and you know, we the government, with great respect, have been in denial about it. And if you add the fact that there's no serious economic case for it to these developing signs, of which you mentioned some, of social distress, I think that the case for a much tougher immigration policy, as the House of Lords recommends, with a clear objective, is unanswerable.
Well, we shall see in due course. Our thanks to Sir Andrew Green, Migration Watch UK. Thank you, Sir Andrew, for coming on the programme.